Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. It's our Week 9 preview episode. We are going to be talking about all 8 games. Well, we were kind of blessed with 7 there for a while, but we're going to have to really put this one in overdrive, Zach, because we have 8 games to preview. How are you doing today?
I'm dragging a little bit, but I've got some energy. I had my hot cocoa, so a little sugar and caffeine jolt here to get through this. So I think we're going to have some good discussion, I think.
There we go. Yeah, I just had a coffee right before this to come on. So, you know, if I got myself a coffee at 9 o'clock at night, I'm good to go for the rest of the episode. Get some stuff done after the episode. We should be good to go. We got our guy Robe Dust in here talking about the Washington IU game. Believes in Taven Jackson. I believe in Taven Jackson as well. We'll get to that here soon. No worries. And then we also have Zach Sutton. Zach, I don't think we've seen you in the comments before. Welcome. If this is your first time or one of your first times listening, we appreciate you being here. So
yeah,
Zach, man, I say we just get right into it. How's that sound?
Well, I was just to say, before we do that, big shout out to y'all. You've been recommending and subscribing, and like, I think we're like 25 away from 2,000 subscribers. So like, huge shout out to y'all.
Yeah. If you've been out there telling people about the podcast and stuff like that, we honestly cannot thank you enough. We really appreciate everybody who not only, you know, shares and likes and subscribes and everything, but tells other people, or even if you're just in the comments afterward, you know, that helps more people find out about the podcast and everything too. So we really, really appreciate it. Shout out to you all. Had over 100 people watching last episode, but you know, Zach says finally able to watch a live stream. Very good.
Yes.
Very
good. Thank you, Zach.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Zach.
What a beautiful name you have. Love it.
His is with an H though.
That's okay. That's all right. I don't know what to say. Well, let's just move on.
Let's move on. And we got Philip here. ILL, INI. There we go. Illini. The Illini in this one. We'll definitely be talking about the Illini. They got a big game coming up in Eugene. So that'll be a fun one to talk about as well.
Yeah.
So be praying that Zach picks against them, because that good things happen when Zach picks against Illinois.
That's hilarious. That's true. That's very true.
Brenton as well. Hoosiers. Thanks for being here, Brenton. We appreciate it, man. Hey, I got my Indiana shirt on today.
There you go.
I had to wear it for the occasion. I figured we were talking about a lot of Indiana. All right, Zach, let's talk about our very first game, Maryland and Minnesota at Minnesota. In this one, we are coming in with, who is the favorite? I think Minnesota's the favorite. Yes, by 4.5 points in this one. I do tend to agree. I think Minnesota's probably going to pull this one out. However, Maryland has looked good at times, but it is later in the season. October, November is coming the week after that. And as we know, the later it gets into the season, that seems to be when Mike Loxley struggles even more. However, you have tend to believe a little bit more in Mike Loxley lately, Zach. Is this a game where you're believing in Mike Loxley, or are you looking at PJ Fleck and the Fleck coins and all that kind of stuff? The antidote of hope. We got to bring that back. What are you thinking in this one?
Is it October?
It is October, yes.
And Mike Loxley is still coaching?
Yes.
Okay, my key to the game is that Mike Loxley sucks. And no, that's not fair. He did a great job. He did a great job. I got to give him his flowers. Honestly, I think the key to this game is, can Minnesota get the running game going? Because they have really struggled, despite the fact that they've turned it around quite a bit. A lot of it's been on the arm of Brosmer and the defense, not on the running game, which was thought to be a real strength with their two backs, with Majors and with Darius Taylor. And for some reason, that has not been there. The offensive line has not been cohesive in the run game. I think that's the key. I think if Minnesota can run, and I think they can run on this defensive front. If they can do that, I tend to think it's a bit of an easier win for Minnesota at home. But watch out for Maryland. I think Minnesota's secondary will hold up against their wide receivers, but those wide receivers can get loose for Maryland.
Yeah, and I actually think Daniel Jackson is a pretty underrated wide receiver, but you're right. Yeah, you're right about this running game. Minnesota against Michigan, they only had 66 yard rushing, and then against UCLA, they only had 61 yards rushing. They are coming off the bye week, so we'll see if that helps them out at all in this one. They did have a lot of rushing yards. I think Darius Taylor had nearly 150 against Michigan, against USC, if I'm remembering correctly. So that was a good game for them. We'll see how the rushing game does in this one, but I tend to believe that Minnesota, they shouldn't struggle rushing the ball in this one. Maryland has not been a fantastic rushing defense, and Darius Taylor, he's very talented. He's a guy that definitely is be able to get things done. I think the key here in this one for me is that that Minnesota pass rush is able to get home, and they're able to get to the quarterback and punish Billy Edwards in this one. I know he has mobility, and that should benefit him, but I think they should be able to get to him. So what's your score prediction in this one, Zach?
I do think Minnesota will run a little better, but I still think it's going to be tough sledding a little bit. But I have Minnesota 28-20. I think between the pass rush and the defensive backs, I think they're going to get a turnover or two here, and I think Minnesota wins.
Very good. Yes, I think Minnesota wins as well. I have them 24-17. I think that it's a bit of a low-scoring game to begin. I could see it being like 10-13, 10-17, or something like that as we enter into enter into the fourth quarter, and then we see Minnesota get a touchdown late, and maybe Maryland tries to respond. But overall, I think Minnesota pulls ahead and wins by a touchdown or more in this one. So, very good. Man, we're moving right along on this one. Let's move on to Northwestern and Iowa. Zach, we got Northwestern and Iowa. Iowa favored by 15.5. Seems a little large to me. I do think Northwestern has a little bit of an underrated ability to stop the run. However, you know, Iowa, very few teams have been able to stop Caleb Johnson. Michigan State did a pretty good job. However, they did give up that 75-yard run. I think the real question in this one is, are we going to continue to see Cade McNamara? Are we going to start seeing Brendan Sullivan? What say you, Zach?
You know, as much as Kirk Ferentz is dogged in his support for the former Michigan quarterback, at least I was reading up on his press conference today, and it sounded like maybe there's some hope that Brendan Sullivan might see snaps after the first series or two if McNamara might, you know, struggle. And might is a key word. Is that true, or did I read that wrong?
No, I got kind of the same thing. And honestly, it makes sense because, like, at this point, Iowa's season is lost, right? What they wanted to accomplish is no longer able to be accomplished. They were hoping to make the college football playoffs, and they had a schedule that they could win out with, and you drop that game at Michigan State, and now you're 4-3. You're not going to make the college football playoffs. You can get to a good bowl still, but I mean, that's not what this Iowa fan base was hoping for going into the season. Honestly, if you're Iowa, I know I was saying for the longest time, put Brendan Sullivan in because he helps you win. Now I'm saying it's not even about helping you win. It's about for the future, right? Yeah. Like, McNamara is not your future. He's done after this year. Put Brendan Sullivan in, get him some reps, give him some time in there. And if you lose, guess what? It's not really that big of a deal. And Brendan Sullivan, it's not like he's a true freshman. Like, he's a good quarterback who has played well for Northwestern. He struggled with sacks in his career. I think he's had multiple games where he was sacked 5 times at Northwestern. But still, like, this is the kind of stuff he has to work out by actually playing at Iowa and not just going in the red zone and running it every now and then.
Yeah. And not only is it for the future, but if you don't play him now, you do run the risk of him being a flight risk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he could transfer out if he thinks that he's not being utilized well. And that jeopardizes not just next year, but the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that at the end of the day, you need to see what you have, and your offense is basically predicated on Caleb Johnson at this point. So a quarterback change, in my mind, is not really going to change all that much. If Northwestern wants to win this one, I'm picking Iowa to win 24-10. If Northwestern wants to win this one, they have to get turnovers, they have to get sacks, and they have to be able to stop the run. It all is predicated on Northwestern's defense. And honestly, it's very possible we could see another 3-point game by Northwestern. We saw it against Washington. Well, I guess what they got 5 points because of the safety. We saw it against Washington. We saw it against Wisconsin now. So yep. Iowa could stop them, but Iowa needs to be a much better tackling team than what we saw against Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think they will. I think Michigan State has more explosive athletes than Northwestern does on the offensive side of the ball. I think Northwestern has gotten better offensively. Like, I think their receiving core, Henning, Kirsch, they're underrated guys. We have really similar scores on this. I have 24-13 Iowa over Northwestern. So I think Caleb Johnson gets enough. I do think Sullivan plays in this game more than just in the red zone.
Awesome. Yeah, I think he should. I mean, honestly, at this point, if they only against Northwestern, if they only have, you know, 7-10 points at halftime, you got to put Brendan Sullivan in. I mean, there's just no other excuse at this point that you have. So, all right, let's get to a few comments really fast. People are active in the chat today, and we appreciate that. We have Road Dust again. He says the best Big Ten analysis in the 9 p.m. slot. That's right. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else in the 9 p.m. slot, so I'm fine with it.
So we love to see.
Zach says Iowa either runs away with the game or Northwestern wins a close game. It's very possible. I mean, they scored what, 40 against Washington? So I mean, it's very possible to do there. Kevin says we're goofy. That's fine with me. And he says we hate the Nittany Lions. I don't know. I don't hate the Nittany Lions. I can see how you would think that. I don't hate the Nittany Lions.
I've been on this show defending Penn State for a while now, so I don't want to hear that. But we are goofy, and I will absolutely own that. So
I did have a guy comment on the show one time. He was texting me because I know him outside the show, and he said, "Yeah, that Penn State fan you have on the show with you." And I was like, I haven't had Vinny or Anthony on with me lately. I wonder who he's talking about. I was like, "What are you talking about?" He was like, "Yeah, the guy with you with the glasses. I think his name's Zach." I was like, "Oh no, he's not a Penn State fan." So he made the mistake. Let's see. Duck Fan 1. I don't see Mello in the chat anymore. He had a lot of money against Oregon. Ever since then, he's never to be found. Yeah, Mello's not around anymore. Maybe he lost his money and tucked his tail. Who knows? And Phillip, bringing it up. Iowa, averaging over 25 points a game. Mm-hmm. There we go. And, of course, Brenton, IU's nearly two times that. Hey, IU, they are averaging over 48 points per game. Since 2019, only four teams are doing that or have done that. Zach, you know who those four teams are?
Oh, gosh, no.
Miami this year, Alabama, that makes sense. 2020, LSU, 2019.
And now Indiana.
Now Indiana. Kirk Cignetti has created a monster.
That's insane that there is a statistic where Indiana is in the same breath as 2019 LSU and 2020 Alabama. That's insane. I mean, that's
but
crazy.
I love it.
You do.
Road Dust says Northwestern by two scores easy. Okay. All right. I'll give you credit if that happens, Road Dust.
Braun is the better coach right now, and I don't think it's close. So, like, I think the fact that it's at home, and I think the stronger running game resides in in Iowa, I think that leads me there. But Robe Dust, I would not be shocked at all if Lujan, the offensive coordinator for Northwestern, schemes some things up against a banged up secondary for Iowa. And springs the upset. Would not be surprised at all.
Yeah. A lot of comments here. We're going to have to skip some people. I do apologize. Fortunate Son 111 says, Badgers are going to surprise Penn State Saturday night. All right.
We'll see.
That'd be something.
We'll talk about that later.
Zach, what's your team? Ohio State.
O-H-I-O.
He's an Ohio State fan. Yeah. And Kevin's just messing with us. We appreciate you, Kevin.
Yeah, love you, Kevin.
We love the banter back and forth. It says Mello was the arrogant Ohio State fan. Oh, there's a lot of arrogant Ohio State fans.
It's true.
There's a lot of them. All right, let's get to our next game here, Zach. We'll be here forever if we keep going through the comments. We appreciate the comments, but we can only do so many. Rutgers and USC, Zach. What has happened to the Rutgers I once loved? I just feel like I keep repeating that over and over again. What's happened is I'm going to pick USC to win in this game, but I'll give my score here in a second. You go ahead and give your thoughts on the game.
I have USC winning, but I don't feel very confident about it. Because, I mean, you go back to the press conference with Lincoln Riley last week, and they're like, what do you keep doing wrong at the end of games? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like,
such a funny moment.
Aren't you paid to know what to do? Like, what are you doing? So, like, I feel like Rutgers is kind of down in the dumps, but I feel like USC is just confused. And so I'm like,
I mean, USC, they did go wire to wire with Penn State at home, right? And they did, you know, turn it around in the second half against Wisconsin, who is a much better team than I think we thought at that time. I mean, they were destroying them in the first half, and then the second half, USC turned it on. So I think USC wins this one because I do think that the home environment is going to be helpful for them. I know that a lot of people will say, like, Penn State, you know, they had that down game and it's just Penn State being down. I don't know. I actually felt like USC played well in that game, and a lot of it was just Tyler Warren going crazy. But that's the thing. Like, Rutgers doesn't have a Tyler Warren. They don't, like, they have Kyle Manungai, but he's basically been this entire offense. He's not going to be able to go off and rush for over 200 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, I shouldn't say he's not going to be able to. He certainly is able to do that. I don't think it's going to be super likely, because I think USC is going to sell out and try to stop the run like they did against Michigan. And, I mean, honestly, they did it pretty well until at the end of the game when they forgot how to tackle.
Yeah.
So as long as they remember how to tackle, they should be able to stop them.
I was like, Kaliak Manis did play better against UCLA, and I don't think USC's defense is super great. But I agree with you. Like, I think my heart wants to pick Rutgers because, like, as a former Jersey guy, I love Schiano. I think Schiano's getting some unfair. Like, I think there's some really good criticism of him. I think there's a lot that's not helpful right now. But I agree with you. I don't think Rutgers has the ability to stay with USC's playmakers. I've got 35-24. I do think Kaliak Manis has a better showing because I don't believe in that USC defense. Not because of Danton Lynn. I just don't think their playmakers and on the defense are great. But I could see it being 35-17 or 35-10 and Rutgers getting a couple late scores to make it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this honestly has the potential to be a shootout, but at the same time, like, this is, and when I say shootout, I mean, like, Rutgers running the ball really well and USC, you know, getting some big plays and stuff like that. And so my pick for this one is actually going to be USC to win 34-27. So a moderately close game. I don't think it'll actually be as close as the score indicates. I think Rutgers will score late and put it up to 27. So 34-7 for me for USC. But
34-27.
27, yes. Sorry. Yeah, that would be a really bad shootout if it's 34-7. But yeah, for me, I think that Rutgers is going to have success running the ball. I don't have the confidence in the defense to be able to continue to stop the big plays over and over again that USC is bound to get with the way that Lincoln Riley has the offense playing at times and certainly at home. So. All right.
We've been eerily similar. Oh, he told me to pick against Illinois.
Oh. We'll see if you do.
But we've been eerily close.
Yeah, we have been pretty close in all of these. So, did you copy my notes earlier? You hacked my Google Drive, didn't you?
If I were skilled enough to hack anybody, well, we're just not gonna go there. Anyway,
You wouldn't have your current job, huh?
Right. Well, yeah. In more ways than one, I would not.
All right, everybody. We're going to do a quick commercial really fast, and we'll be back. Stay with us. Have you ever wanted to watch all 22 film, you know, that film the coaches watch? Well, now you can. Introducing the Coaches Film Room. Over at Minutes to Sports, former college coach Zach Smith breaks down film of the most relevant teams in college football with a bit of a Big Ten lead. It's not free, so you'll need to sign up for the Colonel tier, which is $25 a month, but I can attest to you that it is far more worth it than that. With about 4 to 8 games per week, this is worth so much more money, not to mention Zach's analysis making you a smarter football fan. Go check it out. The links are in the description. MinutesToSports.com. You won't be sorry. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we appreciate all of you being here. Please do like and subscribe. That definitely helps more people find the show and the algorithm. And I work so hard on the cover photos, and I want more people to see them. So, you know, if I work hard on them, give me a break here, all right? Like and subscribe. We appreciate it. All right, Zach, we have this Michigan-Michigan State game, and this is an interesting one. Both teams, 4-3. Michigan is favored by 4. The opening line for this in the offseason was like 24.5 in favor of Michigan. It's now gone to -4 on ESPN, or Michigan is favored by 4 on ESPN. It's just absolutely incredible to see how much things have changed. And I felt like Michigan State could have been a favorite here. I know that Michigan is at home, but if you ask me who is playing the better football right now, it's obviously Michigan State. It's just, are they going to be able to get it done against Michigan? What say you?
I think this is going to be the Nick Marsh game. Because I think, you know, we don't know the status on Will Johnson. The other side of that secondary has been not great. And I think Chiles has been hot and cold for sure. But Nick Marsh is a really good receiver. Certainly not the best receiver they faced, but like without Will Johnson, like if Will Johnson's not playing, I think that's going to be a really rough matchup. And I could see Marsh having a big day. I think his one touchdown all season, I think he gets at least 2 in this game. Ooh.
Honestly, I think you're right. I think Nick Marsh could have a very good game in this one, especially if Will Johnson is not playing. I said before the season that I was questioning Michigan State's wide receivers a little bit, and I did think that, who was it, the two guys they had starting, they had Foster and the other guys starting to begin the season. I didn't think either of those guys were number ones, but I do think Nick Marsh is a number one as a true freshman. And so with him now assuming that number one role, you have guys like Foster, and I can't remember the other guy's name, I apologize. You have guys like Foster and the other one who are playing the 2 and the 3, and it's just, it works out so much better for this team. And Aiden Chiles, like, honestly, he's not forcing as many throws as he once was. He's not turning the ball over nearly as much as he wanted at the beginning of the year. And honestly, that's the success of how to beat this Michigan team. If you don't turn the ball over, they will eventually. Whether it's Jack Tuttle, whether it's Davis Warren, even when Alex Orji was the quarterback, they were still fumbling the ball. So, like, at some point, Michigan is going to shoot themselves in the foot and turn the ball over unless they get things figured out. I don't know if they're going to be able to get things figured out in 1 week. They weren't able to get things figured out over a bye before Illinois. And so for me, I look at this Michigan team and say, it's not just the turnovers. Their punting has been terrible too. Doman, he was fantastic last year. Last game, he fumbles a snap on the field goal. He's not kicked a single ball inside the 20-yard line this season. They've not been winning the field position battle like they have before. And honestly, if you give Michigan State short fields, that's going to be their best scenario to be able to score, because they're not going to have to continue to throw the ball and put the ball in bad situations. So for me, if Michigan wants to win, they have got to win the special teams battle. They have to kick more field goals and they have to do a better job punting. I'm just not confident that that's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and if you saw Sherrone Moore in his interview this week, he does not look, he looks defeated. Yeah, he looks defeated. It looks like he thought he would just walk in. And I don't know if this is true, but all the energy that he once had is not there anymore. And I have a hard time believing that Michigan State beat Iowa, who is a team that's very much built like Michigan. And you know, they beat Iowa. I have a hard time believing that Michigan State doesn't beat Michigan too.
Yeah.
And I know that Michigan has a couple higher level players, right? Mason Graham, certainly the best player on either roster, right?
Do they play though?
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Like Will Johnson, I don't think Will Johnson plays.
No, I don't think he plays.
Yeah, I don't think Will Johnson plays. I think Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant will play. Mason Graham seems completely invested still. It doesn't seem like he's going anywhere anytime soon. Colson Loveland, I mean, dude, if I was Colson Loveland, I'd be so mad right now. Like, they are wasting the talent this guy has because they don't have a quarterback who can throw him the ball. And honestly, they don't have any other wide receivers who are going to take any attention away from him. So, I mean, I know Colson Loveland's invested too. Like, he's a team player. I'm not trying to question, you know, if he's a team player or anything like that. But at the end of the day, like, at a certain point, somebody has to talk to Colson Loveland and be like, dude, you really want to keep catching 6 balls a game for 32 yards? Or do you want to start working on the NFL and actually get yourself ready for it? I mean, I hate this about college football. I'm not advocating for this to happen. I wish everybody would continue to play the season. But I think if we're looking at it as a realist, Michigan doesn't know who their starting quarterback is right now. It's week 9, and they're in a 3-way quarterback battle. Really, it should be a 4-way quarterback battle with Jane Davis, but you know, his parents don't want him to play, which is legit. I checked with some people, and there's, you know, a little bit more to the story there. We can get into it if everybody wants me to, but essentially, like, his parents don't want him to play, and I'm not even confident Jaden Davis will be on this team next year. Like, there's a reason why they're going after Bryce Underwood so hard. There's a reason why they are willing to shovel $4 million to him. And that's like, that's the money he's being offered right now. It's $4 million.
That's insane.
Which is, it's just completely insane. But
yeah,
if you're Bryce Underwood, like, hard to say no to that.
Well, it's hard to say yes to it though, if you don't know who's going to be your coach next year.
And it's hard to say yes to it when you see the complete lack of quarterback development that has been at Michigan this year. I mean, Sherrone Moore can say, we're going to get rid of Kirk Campbell, but you haven't done it yet. So.
I think to the game at hand, I think, you know, the fact that it's a rivalry game scares me a little bit. But even then, I'm like, I've just not seen anything from Michigan the past few weeks that makes me think that they can compete. Against, like, I think if they run the ball 60 times, like, maybe, and like they force Michigan State like turnovers, I think that is a pathway to victory. But at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I think Aiden Chiles is good enough to spring what would be a mild upset. I'm not sure it's an upset. Not the way that these two teams are playing right now. Like, I think
by the odds, it's an upset, but I think anybody who's watched these teams the past few weeks would say Michigan State's the better team.
Yeah, sorry, John. My daily reminder of pumping up Penn State for beating Kent
John's
State.
John's always going to remind you of Kent State. Don't worry.
It's going to be like 2052. Be like, yo, I bet Kent State could beat Penn State this year. It's like, they don't even play, John.
This is an interesting comment by John, though. He says Michigan's OC Kirk Campbell is a scapegoat for more. I think this happens everywhere, though, right? Like, Ryan Walters used Graham Harrell as a scapegoat kind of at Purdue. I mean, this always happens. Like, once the coordinator gets fired, it then goes to the coach if things don't get better. And that's what you're seeing right now at Purdue. That's what you saw under Jim Harbaugh. He fired all of his coordinators, went with new guys in 2021. And you know, things went better from there, so he never lost his job, obviously, but you know, that's always how these things work. I guess not always, most of the time that's how these things work. The head coach is in trouble, he scapegoats the OC, the DC, whoever, in this case probably both, and then goes from there. So
speaking of which, there's a lot of smoke around Ryan Walters right now, and it's bad.
I don't know if he makes it through the rest of the season.
I don't think so either.
Hey, they're on a bye this week though. So honestly, if he's gonna get fired, he's probably already been fired at the beginning of the bye week. So
yeah, I wonder if they're doing due diligence before they do anything.
Yeah.
Which is the right thing to do. Like, don't fire someone on a rumor. Yeah. But I'll give my score. I've got Michigan State 28, Michigan 17.
Okay. I have Michigan State actually 23. I think there's going to be more field goals in this one.
I thought about that. It's good.
We'll see. And then I have Michigan 13. So I think Michigan will get a couple field goals and they'll get themselves one touchdown. But
10-point victory, 11-point victory. This is
maybe I hacked your Google Drive.
There was no hacking. There's no hacking. None.
That's true. We're talking about Michigan. We want to be talking about computer crimes right now. Oh, hey-o. All right, let's move on.
Wow, that was well played.
Thank
Ouch.
You. Thank you. Nebraska heads to Columbus this weekend. Ohio State is 25.5-point favorites. They watched that Indiana bludgeoning of Nebraska Cornhuskers, and they were like, yeah, we got to move these odds up a little bit. So they put Ohio State at 25.5. Still think it's a little too low, in my opinion. I do think that this Nebraska team is struggling right now on offense. Kind of went into my thoughts on the offensive coordinator on Darren's show on the Big Ten show over there on the Voice of College Football earlier this week. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And I do think that they're having some struggles there. And I think that this is going to be a pretty mad Ohio State team. And it sounds like they're changing some things up. It sounds like they're going to do some things differently with pressure and blitzing and stuff like that. They need to. If they don't, I'd be concerned if I had any rooting interest in Ohio State at all. But I feel like they will because, let's face it, Ryan Day is coaching for his job. If he loses, you know, another big game this year, it's a very likely conversation to be if he should be fired or not. Mm-hmm. Don't think he should be, but that's going to be the conversation. What say you, Zach?
I agree with everything you say, but I have this sneaking suspicion that we're going to get sleepy Ohio State after a bye, which may not necessarily be a bad thing. Cause I think part of that could be that they are trying to make adjustments, but trying to make adjustments within a 2-week time span can be a little difficult, especially if you haven't installed it. Like, it wasn't installed before and now you're trying to install new things. I think the other thing, Ransom's probably going to be out of this game. So you're adjusting personnel. So I could see early on Rayola with his wide receivers making a big play, and then Ohio State fans, you know, the boo birds come out and you're like, oh boy, here we go. I think this is close at the end of the half, like maybe 17-10. I think the second half, Ohio State turns it on. I think Ohio State has too much firepower. I think they want to get the bad taste out of their mouth. I just think it's going to take them a while to get started, especially with Mikulski on the other side. So I've got 45-17.
Yeah, you're actually a little bit higher than me. I have 38-7. I think Nebraska only gets 7 points in this one. I just, like, they didn't do any of the stuff that I felt like they could have done against Indiana that they would match up better against. And so I know Lathan Ransom is going to be out in this one, but, like, Nebraska's run game doesn't scare me that much to think that if Lathan Ransom is out, they're going to run all over him. I still think that Ohio State linebackers, like, even though they're, you know, Ohio State fans complain about them, I still think they're some of the best linebackers in the Big Ten right now, specifically in run stopping. I do think they, you know, leave some things to be desired in coverage. People have been able to throw over the middle of the field quite a bit, but, I mean, I needed to see some better game planning from Nebraska against Indiana to have confidence in this Nebraska offense. I still think Nebraska's defense is good. I just think that, like, this could be one of those games where, you know, Ohio State's offense, you know, maybe they get a field goal and a touchdown in the first quarter and things look a little bit closer, but eventually Nebraska's defense is going to wear down and Ohio State's going to start pulling ahead, you know?
Yeah.
So, Girth Brooks says, I can't wait for the new Big Ten teams to hate Ohio State like the rest of us. Yeah, that'll eventually happen. I think they already do, though, don't you think? I mean, Oregon, well, I shouldn't say Oregon hates us. I think Oregon fans and Ohio State fans have a mutual respect for one another. Mm-hmm. But I know USC fans hate Ohio State fans.
It's fair.
They are not. They are not happy.
To be fair, USC is not. They don't like Maryland fans right now. So,
wow, yeah, that's true.
Like, they can, they can cram it. That's all I can say, as Doug Lamarice would say.
Yeah. Duck Fan One says, "Us Oregon fans hate Washington and USC only. You all will hate USC in the future." There we go. We just got so much future hate going on.
Yeah, yeah. I actually don't. By the way, I don't actually want USC fans to cram it. love y'all. And it's just it was a bit much when USC fans thought they were going to win the conference, when it's like, guys, have you seen what's coming back? So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, their coach was talking a big game, and honestly, you kind of go with what your coach is saying. So yeah. I can't blame them too much, because their coach was talking at Big Ten Media Days, like, welcome the new blue blood to the conference, and we're going to be ruling this thing. So,
yeah.
And now we got him saying, I don't know what's going on.
I was
going
to say, it's too bad that he doesn't know what to do at the end of games.
Yeah. He's seeing ghosts at this point. So, he says, you guys don't have any idea about USC podcasters. I've watched a few, and I will say I have an easier time finding Michigan podcasts to listen to than I do USC podcasts to listen to. But that's just me. That's just me. Cameron says, a lot of bad blood from all those Rose Bowl games. Yeah. That's the thing that I like about the Pac-12 and the teams coming in, is I felt like there was a connection between like those Rose Bowl games and stuff like that. I felt like we had some connections there that made the joining of the conference a little bit more sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Zach, we're going to do another commercial really fast. Then we'll come back. We'll talk Washington IU. All right.
Boom.
We'll be right back. The Big Ten Huddle is brought to you by The College Huddle, the largest fan-led college sports podcast community on the internet. With contributors from 70 different schools, you will get in all kinds of analysis from all over the country. Go visit thecollegehuddle.com to find your team and read articles from all across so many fans and contributors. The College Huddle is fan-made, fan-driven, and fan-fueled. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, we appreciate you being here. If you can't watch live, don't forget that we also have a podcast version you can listen to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those different places. So always catch us over there as well. We do post some bonus videos and things like that on YouTube, so be sure to connect on there as well. But you'll get our long form videos for sure every single time over on the podcast channel. All right, Zach, Washington at Indiana. This is at Indiana for them. However, Curtis Work not playing, Taven Jackson will be in. Washington, I think, has a little bit of an underrated defense. They have the number one pass defense in the Big Ten, the number two pass defense nationally. They're only allowing 4.7 yards per pass. I do think that, Washington, they've struggled a little bit with Jonah Coleman being injured. Sounds like he's working his way back, though, and he's getting healthier. So I do think that's a good news for them. However, I think the biggest storyline in this game is Taven Jackson. What say you?
Yeah, I think Taven Jackson is certainly the biggest one. I think two other ones. One is that Washington might have the best ranked pass defense in the conference. They've played Michigan. They've played Iowa. They've played Rutgers. They haven't played any of the big passing teams yet.
Are you now lumping Athan-Kaleck Manis in with Cade McNamara and the big three over at Michigan?
I'm not going that far, but maybe I'm getting close to it.
I think he's a tier above them.
Oh yeah, but like, let's
still not a good passing attack though. You're right though.
Right, Rutgers is. I mean, their bread and butter is the run game. Iowa's bread and butter is the run game. Like,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not. That was not a shot at Kaliak Manis. Trying to put words in my mouth. I need an antidote of confidence now. Anyway,
I'll go to the gas station and get some Sprite.
Thank you. I think that's one. I think the other is for Indiana. The same thing applies. They have not faced an attack like this, so it's a different challenge. I know. I think yesterday or 2 days ago, people were saying, "Oh, it's like IU's after they have a big win. IU's played nobody." I don't think that's fair. Because I think Nebraska did present different challenges defensively, and they passed them with flying colors, right? 56-7. But this is a different type of challenge. They have not faced an offense like this. They haven't faced a quarterback like this. They haven't faced receivers like this. They haven't faced a running back like this if Jonah Coleman is healthy. So I do think it's a different challenge. So those two plus Taven Jackson, I think, are the three key storylines to this game.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, the wide receivers that Washington has, this will be a whole new challenge for the Indiana secondary. Now, the Indiana secondary has been good this season. D'Angelo Pons has been fantastic. They've had good safety play as well. So, you know, I'm not really looking at them and saying, you know, Giles Jackson and Denzel Boston are going to have a good game. I'm just saying, like, these are two of the best wide receivers that they faced all season. So it is interesting to me. Obviously, Washington doesn't give you, like, a big name, like, big game type of feel, but there are certain aspects of this game, particularly the pass defense, particularly the playmakers on the outside, Jonah Coleman if he's healthy, and also the big thing that Washington has that Nebraska didn't have is they have an experienced quarterback who is very accurate with the ball and has been able to throw the ball around a little bit more this season. So I still think Indiana wins, and Indiana wins by double digits in this one, because I'm that confident in Indiana and what they can do, and I'm very confident in Taven Jackson. I really liked him coming out of high school. He had a year at Tennessee, felt like he was pretty good there when you saw him. Didn't see him a lot, but it felt like he did a pretty good job there. And I saw flashes of him doing well at Indiana last year when Tom Allen was there, which if you can show flashes of doing well on offense when Tom Allen was there, that's a pretty pretty impressive thing to do. So
it's true.
In my mind, I think Indiana will start a little bit slower just with Taven Jackson, you know, kind of getting used to it and stuff like that. I think they're going to rely on the run game. I do think they're going to be able to run the ball. So I think, you know, when I'm saying slower, I mean, like, they're not going to score in five plays down the field or something like that. You're going to see kind of a complete drive. Maybe they get a field goal. Maybe they do get a touchdown, because we know that Indiana is very, very good when they get into the red zone. But I do think that Indiana will probably not eclipse 48 points in this one. I know that's a hot take. They've been nearly 50 points every single game. But I think with Taven Jackson, there's going to be a little bit of a curve in this one. Even though I think it's a spectacular backup quarterback, I think that they do win this one 35-14.
35-14?
Yep.
You think the Huskies are only going to score 14?
I think Indiana has a better defense than some people give them credit for. And I think they get some turnovers. We saw Will Rogers throw some turnover or throw some interceptions against Iowa. I think this is an opportunistic Hoosiers team. I can see them getting some turnovers.
So I have it higher scoring. Okay. I think one key in this that we haven't talked about is Washington's coming off a bye week. Okay. So, like, Jonah Coleman's getting healthy, but also I think Jed Fish has more time to game plan and scheme up some things. And I think, like, remember, Indiana struggled a bit with Maryland. I mean, they allowed over 20 points to Maryland. When I say struggled, you know, it's relative, but they did allow 20 plus points to Maryland. And I think Washington is a better offense. And so they have time to get used to the travel. They're coming off a bye week. Jonah Coleman's is getting healthy. So I do think, here's my crazy prediction. Washington is leading at halftime.
By how much?
Field goal.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to say I agree, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. I have Indiana winning by 17 though. So. Okay. Yeah, so I have a higher scoring, because while I agree with you that Taven Jackson, I think he'll start slow. I think Cignetti wants to induce fear in the rest of the Big Ten, and so I have Washington scoring 28, I have Indiana scoring 45.
So 45-28. I can see that happening. I mean, if Will Rogers has a good game and Jonah Coleman's healthy and he has a good running attack, I can see Washington getting to 48. But 28. I don't know if I'd bet on it though. But I see what you're saying. A little bit. You're a little bit more confident in the Indiana offense than I am, I guess, under Taven Jackson, which is kind of surprising because I'm actually really confident in Taven Jackson.
Well, I think. I am not, it's funny, I'm more sold on Washington's offense. I'm not nearly as sold on their defense.
Okay. So you don't believe in the whole pass defense because of Iowa, Rutgers, and Michigan?
Yeah. I think both scenarios could play out. Like, I don't think it's like, I think Washington is one of those teams. It's hard to figure out because I think personnel wise, I'm like, and I think you see it in the games too. Like they could easily be 6-1.
Yeah.
And so which Washington team shows up? I think if the Washington team that showed up against Washington State shows up, I think your prediction is probably more likely. But if the Washington team that showed up against Michigan or against, I'm trying to think who else. I think that version could give Indiana problems offensively, but I still think Indiana's going to win. I think they're going to win by a big amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Washington, you're correct. They really haven't played that great of a passing attack. They played Northwestern when Jack Lausch was the quarterback. Probably the team that's honestly passed on the best might've been Eastern Michigan. If I remember correctly.
Yep.
Let me look at these passing stats really fast. Yeah, well, no, they didn't do a good job. Never mind. It must have been a different game at the beginning of the year. Cole Snyder threw for 129 yards. What game was that? There was a game at the beginning of the season. Anyway.
Was it Weber State?
No, I don't think. Weber State? Was it Weber or Weber?
It's some FCS school that we don't know how to pronounce it, so.
No, Weber State only threw 98 yards. Who was it? Gosh darn.
Was it Wazoo?
Maybe it was. 245 yards, but then one touchdown, one pick. I don't know. Either that or I'm going crazy. One of those two. So, yeah, no, I think that I do give Washington more respect than I think some other people do because of the playmakers they have on the outside and stuff like that. I'm not a huge believer in Jed Fish, and I need to see Washington game after game not struggle with penalties. They did a good job against Michigan, but I haven't seen it game after game after game. They had penalties against Iowa. That was a tough game for them, and so I need to see them capitalize on not doing those things. And if there is going to be something that is a difference maker on offense for Washington, it's going to be the running quarterback. What's his name? Williams, I think it is.
Desmond Williams Demon Williams. I don't know how to say his name.
I don't think it's Demon. Is it Desmond? I think it's Desmond.
I think it's D-E-M-O-N-D, I think.
Oh. Demon. Yeah.
I don't know. It's some sort of Williams.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens.
Ducks fan one is like, Washington sucks, man. Like, they're gonna lose by 40. I'm putting words in your mouth, but Washington is a fluke. They very well could be.
Brian does say Washington has a top 20 defense. I think Washington has a better defense than some people give them credit for. I think that they did a good job against Northwestern. I think they played well against some other teams, but you're right. That passing stat could be a little fluky with some of the teams they played. So we'll see in this one against Indiana. But I think actually Indiana's rushing attack is going to be huge in this one. I could see Taven Jackson only throwing the ball like maybe 15 or 18 times, and his running ability combined with Justin Ellison and what they're able to do on the ground. Yeah. I could see them breaking off some big runs. And although I do think Taven Jackson obviously can throw the ball, he had a very good game doing that this last time when he came in relief for Curtis Rourke. I don't think they're going to have to rely on that from him a ton.
Yeah. I think that's a smart thought. That running back core is way underrated.
Yeah. Yeah. What they were able to do, bringing in Ellison and who's the other guy they got.
Lawson.
The kind of short yard back who's able to come in and do that. Who else? Black is the other guy. Green. Yeah. They have some good guys in there that, and they have so many touchdowns too. Justin Ellison and Ty Sun Lawson. I gotta remember the two different names there. They both have 8 touchdown runs and only 1 fumble on the season for the running back. So I think this is a very underrated piece of the Indiana team. Everybody gives Curtis Rourke credit, as they should. He's fantastic. But the running backs on this Indiana team, they are superb.
Yep.
So. Yeah. All right, Zach, let's move on to our next game, Illinois-Oregon. Phillip, you still there? Here we go. Zach is going to pick against your Illinois Fighting Illini, hopefully, for that way. But we'll see. We have Oregon coming in as quite the substantial favorite. They are at home, but they are 21.5-point favorites over the number 20 ranked Illinois. I think this is a very interesting game. I don't think Jordan Birch plays in this one. He was questionable against Ohio State. Then he was downgraded to out against Purdue. I think you need to see him as questionable before you get to the playing stage again. That's generally how these things work. So I don't think you get Jordan Birch, but Derek Harmon's been such a beast. You don't even know if you need Jordan Birch at this point with the way he's been playing. What's your thoughts, Zach?
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out to me is that I think, you know, Illinois has a really good receiving core in Franklin and Bryant.
But and the stats won't say that against Michigan, because Michigan's entire game plan on Zachary Franklin was, I mean, how many times did we see him going across the middle?
It's like, why is your jersey ripped in half? Oh, that, yeah.
I'll just give him a hug, ref. It's fine.
Yeah, he just needed some love. That's it. Just some love. Illinois, I think Illinois' receiving core is really good. And I love me some Luke Altmyer. I know Illinois fans probably think I don't because I pick against you guys so much.
It's a ploy. You pick against them so that way they'll win.
Yeah, that is true. I think this is going to be a rough game for Illinois, though. And I think a lot of the games I've picked against them, they've been more in the toss-up variety, except for one, and that's been Penn State. And against Penn State, I was pretty confident that Illinois wouldn't upset them. I'm even more confident in this one. I think Oregon is for real. Like, I think they're an elite team. And I think they are just constructed in a way where Illinois' strengths are going to be nullified. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, I love Illinois' receivers. Those defensive backs are for real. And I mean, they challenged the best receiving core in college football in Emeka and Jeremiah Smith. And they lost a couple battles in that, but they were physical. They fought. And I don't like that matchup for Illinois, despite the fact that I think they have really good receivers. I think the defensive line, even without Birch, I think that's a bad matchup for Illinois' offensive line.
Illinois' offensive line cannot handle Oregon's defensive line.
Yeah, and I think that just does not bode well. So, like, I would not be surprised if Oregon struggles a bit offensively against the secondary of Illinois, but I just think they have too much on both sides of the ball for Illinois to really get going at any point in this game. So I think Illinois will fight. I think they'll claw. I love Bielema. I think Oregon's the best team in the country right now. Like, I think they deserve that number one ranking. I think they've demonstrated they're the number one team. They're the most complete team right now. And like, they deserve that ranking. I think whoever voted Georgia won, the four voters who voted Georgia number one should lose their votes. That's how dumb it is that they were voted number one. I can't stand it. They're the best team in the country, and I think Oregon shows it, especially at home. I think if this were at Champaign, I don't know if I'd pick the upset, but I think it'd be a lot closer. The fact that it's in Autzen, I just don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a fun game for Illini fans.
Yeah, this is one of those classic games where I see a whole lot more avenues for Oregon to win rather than Illinois. I do see an avenue for Illinois to win this game, possibly. I think that avenue is pretty slim margins in order to get that done. I think Oregon's, you know, like I said, their avenue to win, they have so many different ones, running the ball, you know, getting turnovers, that kind of stuff. But that's the thing, like, Oregon hasn't done a great job of getting turnovers this season. They've done a great job of getting to the quarterback, but these last two games without Jordan Birch, they've got about the same amount of pressures. They've averaged 13 pressures per game this entire season. They averaged that same amount against Ohio State and Purdue. However, they only got two sacks against Purdue. They got one sack, which was really just Will Howard falling down against Ohio State. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I think that they're still going to be able to get pressure on Luke Altmyer, but you know, do I think this is going to be a 5-6 sack game? Maybe not. I think Brett Bielema is going to be able to use Luke Altmyer's mobility. I think the biggest thing for Illinois here is you don't use Altmaier's mobility and get him hurt. They used it in a very smart way against Michigan, and Luke Altmaier was very smart with getting down and things like that. But, I mean, all it takes is one play for Bossa or Bocher or one of those guys on the defensive side of the ball to really just go after Altmaier and hit him hard, and he could come out of the game for a play or two or something like that, and then you might have a nagging injury the rest of the season, which I really hope doesn't happen, because I really like Altmaier, and I think that he's having a very good season, even though he only threw for 80 yards against Michigan, but I think that's what you needed. So my path for Illinois to win this game, and I'm not picking this, I'm picking Oregon to win, but I'm just saying if there is a path for Illinois to win, they need to make this game ugly. They need to turn Dylan Gabriel over, who has been susceptible to turnovers at certain points during the season, and they need to make Oregon actually play in the red zone. That's been something that Oregon has been able to do that has helped them a lot, is they've gotten the big plays where they haven't played, had to play as many snaps in the red zone. This is still an Oregon team that is not as good in the red zone as normal number one ranked teams. Again, I think Oregon's the best team in the country. Not saying they aren't, but if Illinois wants to have a chance at winning this game, you have got to limit those big plays. If they try to do a big play, you have got to turn the ball over. I mean, I'm talking, you know, Miles Scott, Xavier Scott, Cox, all those different guys that they need to be getting some picks on Dylan Gabriel. And you got to force field goals in the red zone when you let Oregon get there. Like, I'm talking if Oregon makes it in the red zone three times, three field goals, because that's the only way Illinois is going to be able to score enough points.
Yeah. And I think to that, they got to win the special teams battle, which is what Ohio State did not do. Right. Like Oregon with the onside kick. I think Illinois got to pepper some of that in there too.
Like, and they're going to have to use Dan Lanning's aggression against him in some way. Dan Lanning's going to go for it on fourth down at some point. He's going to, I don't know if he's going to try the onside kick thing again, but they're going to have to combat Dan Lanning's aggression and use that against him. I mean, Dan Lanning's been really good this season with his aggression, so it's going to be a hard thing to do. But the coaching battle, Brett Bielema has to win this coaching battle in order to win the game.
Yeah, and he can.
Like, he can. He's a good coach, yeah.
Yeah, like I think again, we've said, like, we think Bielema is one of the most underrated coaches in the country. So, but it's just hard to find, it's hard to believe that all that can line up together, especially with how well Oregon's been playing as of late. So, I think it's closer maybe until late in the third quarter. Like I think maybe like a 17 or 24-13 type game. And then I think Oregon gets a couple scores to put it away. I've got 38-13.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I guess I'm a little bit of an optimist here for Illinois, thinking they're going to be able to keep it close and you know, maybe not let Oregon run away with it. But like I said, I just think there's too many avenues for Oregon to win this game, and they're too good overall that even if they do make mistakes and they start throwing picks or fumbles or something like that, that they're going to be able to make up for those. So I'm actually going to have it a little bit closer. I'm going to have it be a 10-point game. I'm going to choose Oregon to win 27-17. Yeah, okay. I know. I'm being a little optimistic here for Illinois, but like I said, all those things that I said Illinois has to do, they're also really good at those things. So I'm not asking to Illinois to do something here that they're not able to do. So we'll see, but I think even if Illinois comes out here and plays a really good game, I think Oregon wins. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if your pick 38-13 is what happens.
But I picked against Illinois, which means they're going to win.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. So Illinois fans,
this will be
rejoice.
The true test.
If Illinois wins this game, I mean, first of all, I'll be on power rankings. You know, last time I picked against Ohio State and I said I would buy an Oregon shirt if I was wrong. It didn't work. If I get this wrong, or if Illinois wins, I will buy an Illinois shirt.
There we go. Off home field with my
off. Leg. Oh yeah, of course, off home field.
I have an Illinois shirt. I'll wear my Illinois shirt Sunday if they win.
There you go.
Bull. This is something I thought of. What Bull brings up here, he says number one has gotten beat often all year. I don't normally pick based off these things, but it is kind of a funny thing. I mean, Ohio State got beat when they were number one. Georgia got beat when they were number one. Texas got beat when they were number one. So, I mean, number one teams have gone down quite a bit this year with the parity. But I don't know. I think Oregon holds on to this number one spot until the Big Ten championship. And then, you know, that's going to be a really, really good game to see who wins that one.
I think there's one trouble spot, one big trouble spot for Oregon.
Okay.
And it's one that we thought might be in preseason.
Michigan. No, I'm just kidding.
No. At Madison.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game for him.
Especially with having to go to Michigan and then back and then to, like, that, it's finishing out that 4-week stretch of three road games. I think that could be a real chance for an upset.
Yeah. So you think the Michigan or the Wisconsin game will be closer than this Illinois game?
Yeah, I think so. I think the way Wisconsin is trending, for sure.
We'll see what happens what they do against Penn State this weekend, which actually we're going to talk about that game next. So one more commercial, and then we'll talk about Penn State, Wisconsin. Homefield is your go-to destination for premium collegiate apparel with a passion for comfort and a flair for vintage design. Homefield brings you gear that is comfortable and stylish. With over 150 colleges to choose from, Homefield digs deep into the archives, uncovering forgotten logos, iconic mascots, and legendary moments to create one-of-a-kind apparel. Use my code TBTH for 15% off for new customers, or use my link in the description. Back here on the Big Ten Huddle, Zach, Duck Fan 1 wants you to wear Oregon apparel for an entire month if Oregon wins. Do you have enough Oregon apparel to do that?
No. if someone wants to buy me Oregon apparel, listen, I have the budget for like one shirt. So like if someone wants to buy me more,
if somebody buys me a big duck head, I will do an entire podcast with the duck head on.
Me too. Yes.
But secretly, I really want a duck head. So,
also true.
Philip has been trying to get us to wear hot dog suits. So maybe if Philip can find a.
He
just brought it up again.
Philip, can you elaborate on the hot dog costume store? Like, what is the deal?
I think we just brought it up that one time and now he's hooked on it. I love it.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's great. I love it.
Oh boy! All right, Zach. Penn State.
John's
should be wearing a duck head. You should be wearing the. You should be wearing a Hoosiers costume after what happened to him last game.
I wonder if the duck went into the press conference for the post game loss.
Yeah, he did visit all those stadiums, so maybe he did.
Oh man!
All right. Penn State at Wisconsin, Zach. I'm really excited about this game. I do think that Wisconsin has an uphill battle here. However, their defense has been really good lately. Penn State's offense has been really creative, so this is going to be a fun one, I think, to see how it shapes out. I think Luke Fickell is going to get these guys ready. Mike Tressel, pretty underrated defensive coordinator in my mind. So between Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel, I think they're going to have some things to kind of surprise Penn State a little bit in this one. It's going to be interesting to see how they combat the Tyler Warren in the backfield and some of the funky formations and stuff like that that Penn State brings out. But I do think probably one of the bigger things that we're going to see in this game is Wisconsin's offensive line versus Penn State's defensive line. I don't know if Penn State has really faced a team quite as physical on the offensive line. I know Illinois is a physical team, but I don't think their offensive line is good enough to really have that consistent physicality with Penn State all game. I think Wisconsin's is good enough to do that, so this is going to be an interesting one. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, it really is interesting. I think the first month of the season, we were all kind of lamenting about the lack of identity for Wisconsin. And it's amazing at they still have some of the key elements of Phil Longo's offense, but they have really become more of a power team. I think I saw a stat that they're running the ball 60% of the time now. Tyler Walker has been a stud. Braden Locke, has really acquitted himself well as the starting quarterback after Tyler Van Dyke went down, which is surprising because, I mean, he did not look good, you know, going in against Alabama and then the following week against USC. But since then, he's been really good, and they have dominated teams. And I don't know what to think, because the last thing we saw with Penn State was them struggling on the road against a USC team that I thought they should have handled. And granted, they were much better in the second half of that game. And I thought the story of that game was Drew Aller stepping up and winning that game and making plays down the stretch. Julian Fleming making plays down the stretch. Tyler Warren making plays all game. The defense stepping up when it had to. I thought that was the story of the game. But I think in all of that, remember, USC, I mean, they're a 3-4 team right now. And Penn State, you know, Penn State really got lucky that Miller Moss threw a pick late in that game. And they got lucky to really
they got lucky Julian Fleming started to actually catch passes the ball. Too.
Yeah. So I think Penn State's had an extra week to kind of sit on it, but I'm not sure if that's a good thing for Penn State, because Wisconsin has been quietly, they've been building a lot of momentum. They've kind of figured out who they are. The defense is starting to play really well. So all that being said, here's my one concern about Wisconsin. The line, I think you said this maybe off air, but I share the concern. Wisconsin linebackers in coverage, and who do you got to face? The best tight end in the country. And maybe the best player in the Big Ten. And I don't think that's hyperbole. He has been phenomenal. Tyler Warren, line him up everywhere, out wide, in line, as the snapper, like, you know, just put him somewhere and he's going to be awesome. Wildcat quarterback. I mean, he has been phenomenal, and he's going to be a matchup problem for this Wisconsin Badgers defense. But I don't think that you can just say, well, Tyler Warren, go receive, you know, get 250 yards and have a day. They're going to have other options.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, Tyler Warren, definitely a very good player. I don't think his stats always show that. I think he's only had, like, what, 3 games of over 50 yards or something like that this season. But he does a very good job of getting open, third down. When they need him most, they kind of go to him. It's kind of like what I talked about with Illinois and Josh McCray and what he was able to do last game. Didn't have a ton of yards, but every time they needed yardage, he was able to get it. And that's kind of what Tyler Warren has been for this Penn State team this year. So if one of these Wisconsin linebackers, or I'd like to see Hunter Waller, see what he can do against him. But yeah, that's the thing with Andy Kotelnicki, is if they do have a linebacker that starts doing a good job on Tyler Warren, he is not going to allow that linebacker to stay on him. He's going to scheme Tyler Warren somewhere around this offense to get him off them and prevent bracket coverage against him as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see the, you know, the kind of coaching battle here on Penn State's offense and Wisconsin's defense. To me, the biggest factor for Wisconsin, though, not on defense, is this running game. I mean, this is going to be the biggest part of this team, which it has been. And when Wisconsin has been able to run the ball, things have been much, much better for them. However, when they've not been able to, Braden Locke has not been as successful in play action. And he, quite frankly, Braden Locke is just not as good of a quarterback when he's, you know, just on playing dropbacks instead of on play action. So I think you have to have an effective running game in order to do that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really, really hard to do against this Penn State defensive line. And I do think Penn State's linebackers are pretty good, too. Kobe King is good, but definitely not on the same level as the defensive line in my mind.
Yeah. Well, and I think talking about underrated guys, I think, you know, we talk a lot about Denai Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter. Zane Durant, man, that guy in the middle.
He is a beast, dude.
He is really good.
He's fantastic. And
it'll be interesting to see who wins that battle early in this game between the offensive line and defensive line. I think if Tywee Walker, tell me what you think about this. If Tywee Walker can get 120 yards in this game, Wisconsin wins.
I wouldn't guarantee it's a win, but I think the probability of them winning would be much greater. So I would lean towards yes.
Okay. The question is, do you think that they can do that?
No.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to doubt Wisconsin here. Like, I think the Penn State defensive line and their run defense is just that good. Like, I don't think a whole lot of teams in the country, not just Wisconsin, I don't think a whole lot of teams in the country are going to be able to run the ball against Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think that Penn State, they need to primarily focus on stopping the run. I think that they need to take away the big plays here and there that Wisconsin's been able to get. You know, with Will Pauling and this wide receiver core that has been underrated this season. I remember saying at the beginning of the year that, you know, this wide receiver core for Wisconsin was a little bit underrated. I kind of faltered on them a little bit once they started having that bad stretch, but they've looked much better lately. For me, like, this is the prove it game, right? Because kind of like Indiana last game when they were going up against Nebraska, Wisconsin has looked really good in the last three games, but everybody wants to say, well, you face bad offenses, you face bad teams. But this is kind of the prove it game. Did Wisconsin figure it out after the Alabama game? Even if this is a close one, I'm willing to say yes. Even if they lose, I'm saying, but if it's a close one, I'm willing to say yes. I think if you're Wisconsin, you have to come out and you have to prove it defensively that you're going to be able to stop this Andy Kotelnicki offense, which has been difficult for people to stop so far this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your score?
My score prediction on this one is 21-17 Penn State. I don't think Penn State gets a blowout in Camp Randall.
No. I think
it's too tough a place to play.
I really like Penn State, and I'm so close to picking an upset here.
Oh yeah. John says be bold.
So I have written down, this is what I've written down. I've written down 27-24 Penn State over Wisconsin. My gut says that Wisconsin wins this game. So I'm going to go 24-20 Wisconsin winning in Camp Randall. Cause I just, and this might be foolish of me going against my head, I think Wisconsin can run on Penn State. And I think, you know,
you think it's the linebackers? You don't think it's the defensive line that'll stop them?
I think the linebackers. Or
you think it's the linebackers that are the liability? You think that they won't make up?
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I think the defensive line's great. But I think I do think Wisconsin has really done a good job of upgrading that offensive line. And I think Luke Fickell's a certain kind of stubborn where he's like, we're gonna force you to stop us until you can't. And I think Tyree Walker gets 120 yards in this game or more.
Wow.
And
this guy UPod disagrees with you.
I don't know. Like, and I have it written down. I could show you my scores on my thing. I have 27-24, but just the more I think about it, I'm like, I think Penn State's going to struggle to score. It's at Camp Randall. And here's the other piece. They have routinely struggled the game before Ohio State.
And that's true. They have done that in the past.
So I just, my head says Penn State, but I'm gonna pick Wisconsin 24-20.
What's Luke Fickell's record versus Penn State? He didn't play Penn State yet, right?
I don't think so.
They played,
it was Christ last time.
Yeah, 2021. Oh, stupid ads. Yeah. Penn State has won the past five. Last time Wisconsin won was in Madison, and they won 45-7. That's not happening this time. But they did play in the Big Ten Championship in 2016. Was that when Brett was still there? Or Bert?
No, it was Christ.
And say Bert left that in was, what, 14 or 15?
Yeah, I think so. No, I think it was 2012. Because then it was Anderson for a couple years, and then
that's right. I always forget about Anderson.
Yeah, he left after the 59-0 drubbing.
Yeah. Sunshine Design says, jumping around, baby.
Yeah.
I like it. I love it. I'm really excited about this game. I think there's a whole lot of interesting stuff here. Do you think if Penn State loses this game to Wisconsin and they lose the Ohio State game, do you think they still make the playoffs?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they'd get like the 11, the 10 or 11 seed. Because, I mean, that's a good, actually, now that I think about it. Who else would they play? They play Washington. I mean, Illinois will still be ranked, I think. So that would be a ranked win.
And say, if Illinois loses close to Oregon, I don't think they drop out of the rankings.
They play Washington at Purdue, at Minnesota, and Maryland. It'd be tough. It'd be really tough. But it's a good question. I don't know if they would.
I think they would. Just because there's no, like, I was looking at the playoff stuff earlier because there's actually a chance that the, and Philip asked if we have a SEC bashing segment in this one. No, we don't have a bashing segment today. I guess this will be my bashing for you today, is that the Big Ten very likely could have more teams in the college football playoffs this year than the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could see the Big Ten getting four teams in with Penn State, Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State. Honestly, outside of Georgia, Texas, I don't think there's going to be any more than one, maybe two SEC teams that get in. Like Alabama, you can't convince me they're going to win out the rest of the way. Tennessee plays LSU, I think. So one of those teams is going to drop a game. Texas A&M is on those schedules as well. And we've seen teams like Arkansas and Vanderbilt play tough against other teams. And Missouri, I think, is on Alabama's schedule as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough road for the SEC to get more than three teams in.
Yeah, Missouri and Alabama play this weekend.
That's right. They play this weekend.
Yeah. Well, and Tennessee, Alabama was an abomination. That should eliminate both teams immediately. I don't care. Did
Tennessee rush the field after that?
I don't know. If they did, gosh.
What'd you think of Illinois rushing the field after they beat Michigan?
I mean, it makes sense because they're the defending national champions.
Yeah.
Like, that makes more sense. And it was, like, it was really cool. Like, I don't know, it's hard because typically I'm like, if you're not, like, if Michigan's not that good, then don't do it. But there's some personal history for Brett.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like
mattered.
The fan base knew how much that meant to Brett.
Yeah.
Or Bert, whatever you want to call him. I've seen Illinois fans call him Bert, so I don't feel bad calling him Bert. Just love that people call him Bert.
Yeah.
No, I'm not one of those sticklers about like rushing the field and stuff like that. I think at the end of the day, as long as everybody does it respectfully and they don't do anything to the players. Like, what was it, 2 years ago, like the Tennessee fans were like messing with the Alabama players as they were getting off the field. I hate that. I don't want that, but you know. Hey, I heard somebody say today, this will be my last thing, and then we'll get out of here. I heard somebody say today that Oregon fans helped get the win against Ohio State, kind of like Texas fans helped get that call right against Georgia, because Oregon fans rushed the field so fast, the referees couldn't get them off the field to review the time at the end of the game.
I think I did hear that too. I think it's hard. Well, it's weird because the Big Ten reviewed the thing and they were like, no, the officials were right, which I'm like, I mean, I Oregon won fair and square. I'm not going to hold on to it.
Oh, but yeah, they definitely won that game.
But also, like, it says 1 second on the clock when he slid. Like, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where I'm like,
well, I don't think Ryan Day was arguing it at the end of the game either.
No, like, no, he wasn't.
I feel like they kind of left the field and it was like, maybe if Ryan Day continued to argue, but I don't think he wanted to be in the mess of all that.
Yeah.
And the players and stuff. Like, he went over and shook Dan Lanning's hand and was out.
Yeah, he was frustrated. As he should be. But
yeah,
I still think, and this will be my last thing, I do think I'm more optimistic about Ohio State and Ryan Day this season than I have been in the past several after the loss.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is seeing him embrace his role as the CEO. Like, you talked about in the press conference today that he hopes that LJ and, Jim Knowles like have figured it out together, like, which I thought was a really good question by Austin Ward, by the way, forcing him to talk about that. And this is, I said this on my midseason review. I do think it's going to be Ohio State, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. I do think Ohio State's going to win.
Yeah.
Like I, and I, you know, I'm putting that out there. So if I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'll buy an Oregon shirt. I don't know. But I think
Oregon is a really, really good team. And I think that they had stuff go against them in that game as well. So, I mean, looking at it now, I probably would pick Ohio State to win that game, but I would not be nearly as confident as I was before, even without the home field advantage for Oregon and stuff like that. Oregon's just impressed me so much this year.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're really good.
Yeah, they struggled at the beginning of the year, and that gave me some questions, but what they were able to do against Ohio State, what they were able to do against who they played before Ohio State.
Boise.
No, not Boise. They played UCLA.
Michigan State.
Yeah, what they were able to do against Michigan State, even with Dylan Gabriel turning the ball over, they were still able to win that one pretty handily. So,
yeah.
I had a couple comments here I wanted to get to. Penn State guy says that the ESPN playoff predictor says Penn State is a 69% chance of making the playoffs with losses to Wisconsin and OSU for what it's worth. So, yeah. They're, I mean, near 70% chance. That's pretty good odds there, I would say.
I would just be nervous about the SEC bias. That's my concern. Because I think I know that Penn State's probably a better team than Alabama. But I don't think ESPN knows that, and who owns the playoff?
Right. Yeah, and ESPN's the one that's always against a Big Ten team. So if they're saying 69%, I feel like the percentage is probably even a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You mentioned Ryan Day, and now the chat's going back and forth about Ryan Day.
I did say he was an underrated coach, and I kind of just blew everything up. So I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Yeah, you put yourself out there with that one.
I did. I do. Like, I stand by that, though. Like, I get the whole 5-star recruit thing, but like, he's got to recruit him. And
yeah,
like, who would be 4 coaches currently that you'd want over Ryan Day?
Kirksen Eddie.
One year. Like,
I mean, he's had a really good record, though, what he was able to do in previous schools. I don't know if he's probably not the recruiter that Ryan Day is, but with coaching ability
he deserves some credit for working the transfer portal like he did, though. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. It's just the track record at Power 5 schools. I'm like, I don't know. But like, I think he's definitely the hottest name for sure right now.
Yeah. I'll just say this. If you're, you know, you can call Ryan Day soft, that, you know, whatever. I really don't care. But if your reasoning for calling Ryan Day soft is because you heard today that he sent in the call at the end of the game of the Oregon game to the Big Ten officials' offices, like, you have to understand, every single coach sends in at least 10 different plays every single weekend. Like, the Big Ten officials literally set aside hours on Sunday to review everything that the coaches send in. Every coach sends stuff like that in, every single one. So, you know, if your reasoning is, oh, Ryan Day sent a play into the Big Ten office, well, guess what? Number one, every coach does it. Number two, they ask them to do it. They want to be reviewing those calls, and so they're asking the coaches to do that. So I'll just say that, because it's funny to me that people keep using that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right, Zach. Good show tonight. We were on pace to be under an hour, and then we got to talking on other stuff. But hey, we didn't do 2 hours tonight, so
amen.
We'll get to bed a little bit earlier.
Amen. There we go.
Why don't you tell people where they can find Big Ten Football Talk?
Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Make sure you go over there, like, subscribe. Get that algorithm going. We'll be up Thursday morning. So thanks, guys, for being here. Illini Bubba, in particular, I hope you're happy that I picked against you guys today.
Very good. We appreciate everybody.
Yeah, we love you guys. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate it. So Philip says, basketball pod got to be 2.5 to 3 hours. Yeah, we got to make up for our time. So we will have a pretty interesting basketball pod on Thursday night. So right now I have Dylan coming in, possibly Kent. We'll see. He's got to check some stuff with his family and like kids sporting events and stuff like that. And then Frank from Boiler Express is going to be there. Burke is going to be there from Often Daunted. We're going to do our Big Ten season preview. So we're going to pick most disappointing team, most surprising team, who we think is going to win, top four seeds in the tournament, player of the year, all that kind of stuff. So we'll have you covered with a big Big Ten preview on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. So appreciate everybody being here. Have a good night, and we will see you. If you're into basketball, we'll see you Thursday night. If not, Kent and I will see you on Saturday. Or no, Kent's not going to be here Saturday night. So me and somebody else will be with you.
I will be here.
Okay, me and Zach will be with you for power rankings on Saturday night. So appreciate it, everybody. Have a good one.